Hi, welcome to AnimeCons TV. I'm Patrick Delahanty.
Hey everybody, my name is Shannon Morse.
And we just got back from SAC Anime, the summer edition. And this is the first time I've gone to the summer version of SAC Anime. And I've been to the winter one, I think, three times. And you've been once.
Yes, once. So this was my second time at a SAC Anime branded convention.
Size-wise, it's about the same size as the winter one, I think. There seem to be the same amount of people. It's still really crowded.
Yes.
And I think last attendance figure I've heard was over 10,000 people, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a big con.
I can believe it. Just from, like, walking around the exhibitor hall, there's a lot of people.
They changed the layout from the winter version. In the winter, they had the entire convention center. But this year, part of it was occupied by a Greek festival. So I guess they weren't able to book the whole thing. But,
it's kind of weird.
And so the area where they had the masquerade for the winter, they actually used a memorial auditorium across the street, which was a really nice space.
This year, it was in the memorial hall.
Yeah, that's where they had the masquerade and some other events.
Yeah.
And plenty of seating and a great venue, nice stage.
Yeah.
And I hope they use that in the future.
Apparently it's a historic building in Sacramento that has been used for a lot of, like, different speaking events and things like that. I believe Eisenhower, somebody spoke, I think it was a first lady, spoke at the Memorial Hall years ago. So it was kind of cool to be in that building, especially given that it's so old.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history behind it. And it's very beautiful. Way different than, like, a normal ballroom or a convention hall that you would normally see one of these events in.
Looks like it was built during the 40s or so. And I don't think they've updated the seats since then.
No, I don't think so. It was kind of uncomfortable.
The main floor, they had folding chairs, and they set most of the people there to start. And then there was a balcony up above, and then other seats on the side that were fold-down theater-style seats.
It was 40 minutes late.
Yeah, it took them 40 minutes to seat everyone for the masquerade, which is terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
The way they were doing the seating was they would have one line come in and go all the way to where their seat was. They could have reduced that by at least half by splitting the line.
Yes.
So you have half the line go down this side, half the line go down that side, and then they seat.
Absolutely.
Or split it again and have more people go down the other sides to the actual fold-out theater seats on the side. And
I didn't think it was necessarily fair how they did it, because the people lining up for, like, you know, two, 3 hours who got in the front row, and then they worked their way back.
Yeah,
and
in
then
the
you
center
had
aisle.
More people sitting, like, or and standing in line for less time who got to sit in the front of the second aisle.
Yeah, the front
of
the side.
And then they worked back.
For some reason, I think they thought all the cosplayers were filling the side section, so they had people at the back, and then they realized they didn't need all the space at the front, and they brought other people up front of those people. So it really wasn't fair.
No.
And it took them 40 minutes. So they got to work on that next year.
I did notice, though, that they did a really good job with the masquerade ball because there wasn't, they didn't screw up the audio.
Well, except the exhibition at the beginning.
One.
But
yeah.
Once that was out of the way, it was relatively smooth sailing throughout the event.
Yeah.
Turn it up. Just turn it up.
I'm guessing that was the wrong music.
Lynn, that is our Vocaloid brother.
Love you.
There were no significant delays and moved right
other
along.
Other than the first one.
Yeah, other than the first. That was just, you know, they had to warm up, I guess. It's a great venue to have that, and I hope they do that there again. Because in the winter, they did it in an exhibit hall, and they had it very wide and not very deep.
Yeah.
So the people on the sides, they couldn't really see screens. They couldn't actually see the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Although this place didn't have any screens at all, so the people in the back, they had to just watch from a distance.
Just gotta squint your eyes real hard, and hopefully you get to see everything.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hard to do.
As far as other programming, we went to Cowboy Bebop reunion panel.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, it featured Steve Bloom, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, and Wendy Lee, who are the voices of Spike, Julia, and
Faye.
It really opened up my career to so many other things. Now I'm doing original animation, lately working on Star Wars Rebels. Season 3 is about to start soon, so for those of you that haven't seen it, catch up quick. I'm going to turn this over to my dear beloved Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
Well, as Steve said, it was my first directing job, and it sort of got me on the path to becoming, hey Matt! Becoming a director, and I directed Digimon for years, and Wolf's Rain, and Naruto forever, and now I'm directing Tangled for Disney. We're doing a series based on the movie with the whole cast back, so look for that. The shorts are going to start soon, and then the movie comes out, and then the series comes out next year. Yay! And I'm still doing voice acting. That also led to Major Motoko Kusanagi in Ghost in the Shell. Naruto, Kerr and I in May, and then Steven Universe now, which is great. And I'm also on season 3 of Star Wars Rebels as Governor Price. I introduced Thrawn, so beware, Rebels, we're coming for you.
She's on the wrong side of the Force. Don't trust anything she says.
I do have a thing for prehensile feet, though. So.
That's right. That's for the home
game. That's for the home game. That's right. And then there's Wendy. This is my first chance to come up to Sacramento, and now I feel like I'm a local hanging out in Sac. Awesome. Does anybody know what was going on last night with all the bicycles that were lit up with lights that were singing and carrying on in the streets? I got a great video of it. It was beautiful.
Oh, you know?
What is it?
Bike day.
I have a problem.
Yes, you have a problem.
There's no moderator.
Yeah,
They brought the wines in. Like, hey.
They made sure every seat was filled. That took longer than it should have, too.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, if you want to ask a question, we've got these reserved seats up here at the front. So they had people go up there. Mm-hmm. And then they apparently just left the room.
Yeah, and like the three voice actors were in charge of their own panel.
Yeah.
And I was they did it quite well. It was a great panel, but I felt like there should have been somebody there directing or at least telling them what should happen during the panel.
Yeah,
there was one point where I believe it was Steve who said, anybody that wants to ask a question, come up to the front. There's a mic up here. When in actuality, there was already like two rows of people sitting down at the front who wanted to ask questions.
Yeah, and... The staff just didn't even tell him. But they should have had somebody there to moderate so that the people that aren't actually asking questions or the people that have the multi-part questions, they could have said, all right, we need to move on.
And
because the guests shouldn't have to do that. They don't want to be the bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a moderator in there to be the bad guy and say, I'm sorry, sir, do you have a question? Because there were some that just... They have this love for the series, which I understand. It's a great series.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people with questions. And when somebody's taken 5 minutes to ask their question, you got to move along.
Or just like practicing their... obviously, like one kid there was trying to practice his comedy lines because apparently he wanted to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So he ended up asking, I believe it was Mary, all these things about, you know, hooking up with this other director and like making a Disney thing, Disney movie or video game or something.
Yeah.
He just went off the rails, and it didn't necessarily need to be in there.
One of the best questions, though, was the guy that asked, what would your moms want us to know about you?
I thought that was an amazing question.
And it's really hard for them to answer, and I totally understand.
Yeah.
But it's like, what would mom want people to know about. You know, I was thinking, what would my mom would say?
Yeah, I was too.
And it's not the, can you say this? You know, what was your favorite episode? What's your favorite song?
One thing I did respect about the way that they were doing the talks is at the beginning of this one in particular, they had a staffer in there and they were basically telling all the guests or all the attendees, this is how it works if you want to ask questions and this is where you need to sit. Please raise your hand if you have an extra seat. But she also brought up the fact that they have a no harassment policy at the convention. Like they specifically spoke it to the people in the room. Hey, there's a no harassment policy. If you see anything happen to yourself or to friends, notify us immediately. Yeah. And they also had a sign out front, like right in the middle of the hallway, huge sign that said, we do not tolerate harassment in any form. And it said, notify us immediately. And I was like, wow, like more conventions need to have that kind of signage, very visual, and need to speak it out loud because people will are more motivated to follow the rules if they know what they are.
Yeah, and conventions, a lot of them have these rules, but they just don't make it known.
They don't make it noticeable. Yeah.
And there's this big sign you see, harassment's not tolerated, and it tells you, report it immediately.
Yeah.
And some people, if they don't have that, they just think, oh, well, I'll email them after the con and tell them this happened.
Right.
Too late. So, report it immediately. If you see something, say something. What? Stop harassing me.
Exactly.
I'm gonna report you.
See?
Immediately.
He knows the policy. So yeah, I enjoyed this year's more than I enjoyed last year's because I thought that the last SAC anime that I went to was a little bit disorganized as far as the speakers. Because I believe that was the one where they moved a room around for one of our friends that was giving a talk. Which I was just like, that was kind of disorganized.
Yeah.
But
that was a couple years ago.
Was that a couple of years? Oh, man.
Although, I was looking...
My memory. Oh.
When I did the winter report, I mentioned that there had 41 panels. 24 of them were Ask a Character Q&A panels. That's 58%. No.
So those are when cosplayers are asking a question, right?
No, people ask a question of the cosplayer in character.
Answering questions.
They had 58%. 24 out of the 41 panels, which I was like, that's way too much. Yeah. This time I looked through, I didn't see any. I don't know if they were listening to this. You didn't have to go completely eliminate them. Thank you, because I like actual content.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a great correction. But I did notice there were only about 50 panels. They had two panel rooms and two event rooms. Mm-hmm. Where they did panels for the major voice actors and people that would draw a large crowd.
Yeah.
And for a convention this size, over 10,000 people, they need more than just the four rooms. Because I was looking at the schedule and guidebook, and what was it, between 4 and 5 p.m. on Saturday, literally one thing in the schedule to do. Not counting, like, autographs and the dealer's room and... You know, stuff
which
that's open all day. Yeah.
So I go to a lot of InfoSec conventions, and even the smallest ones, which have around 2,000 people might come to them, they always have four tracks going at the same time. So four different talks, and that's not including exhibitors. So, and that happens from the beginning of the convention at like 10 a.m. all the way to around 6 or 7 p.m. Always four tracks, and they also have all these like 24-hour rooms, like with anime cons where you can do watch rooms, like, you know, and game rooms and stuff like that. So I feel like, you know...
Well, I wasn't counting the video rooms.
Have tracks...
Because actually,
they have tons of talks going on at the same time. At least, you know, maybe four or five different sessions going on so that people have an option. Because not everybody's going to like the same thing.
Yeah, I do like that they use the guidebook app that you can just have on your phone. But they list only the events and panels in here. So the video screenings aren't in here. Mm-hmm. So just going off this, on Saturday, the first thing you have is Power Rangers Turbo Reunion at 10 a.m. And that's the only thing at 10 a.m. 10:30, they have Touring Japan, and then not counting autographs, you've got another panel at 11, two more panels at 11, but this is a large convention. There should be, like 10 a.m., there should be four or five different panels to choose from. And that's 10 a.m., so some people will show up at 9.
Oh, for sure.
And so really, the con doesn't start until like 11, and then I'm seeing these... times like 12:30, only one thing starts, and 1:30,
yeah,
2:30, and yeah, this, there could be more. That's what I'm saying. They make space,
bring
make another
us more.
Make another panel. Just I'm asking, just one more, panel room, and get that panel. I like that they have the times between panels for them to clear out the room and get more people in.
Yeah.
But it seems like they could offer more variety of programming, more panel options. Because a lot of these are the big guest panels. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for fan panels, there's not too many of those.
No, there weren't.
And I know there's fans that want to run
panels.
But they get turned down. And that's a shame.
But sometimes guest panels are really interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why they need the big rooms, because a lot of people go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same thing with fan panels, too, though.
Yeah, depends on the topic.
Yeah, of course. But, like, some fans have the most fascinating stories. Like, you can get some really good panels going.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had the dealer's room in the same place it's been the last few years. You saw a lot of
things
and a lot of Sailor Moon things.
Lots of adorable alpacas and lots, like, what's his name? Picasso Opalka? Whatever. I don't know. And there tons of Harley Quinns. I know that has nothing to do with the exhibitor room, but like, seriously, ladies, come on. And there were, lots of plushies, lots of models, which was amazing. Like, tons of figurines.
The figurines.
Yeah.
And they had them out of the box,
which was awesome.
Usually,
so
I go to the conventions,
touch them.
I'll see them in the box on a shelf. Or just on the table laid out. But most of these dealers actually had one taken out of the box. You could actually see up close what it looks like. And if it's, it must work for them because they're all doing it now.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, it's much more profitable if people can see exactly what they're selling as opposed to a picture on the front of a box. It makes sense.
If you're not doing this on the East Coast, consider actually taking a sample out of the box and put it right on top. And
I am much more likely to buy your stuff. Hi, consumer.
Also, in part of the dealer's room, first, they had annoying announcements all the time, which I've complained about before. Constantly making announcements, which really loud and distracting and not great. But they had the VIP autograph area on one end of that dealer's room.
Right.
And we were confused by that.
Yeah. So they had a free autograph session per day. And there were like three or four different sessions per group of guests on each day. And these were all delegated to a specific room, which was up on like the second floor of the convention center. And then they had this VIP section where the guests were down in the same room as the exhibitor hall. And you could walk around there if you're VIP and get a signature. It seemed like it was ahead of time or something. I don't know. I'm assuming you pay extra to be VIP. Mm. But I was confused because I was like, cool, this must be where the autographs are. So I went over there and then one of the staffers...
Yeah, you were just looking to see who was there.
Yeah, I was just like kind of looking around. I wasn't planning to buy an autograph yet. But
halt.
This guy was just like, not allowed. And I was like, why not? And he's like, it's VIP. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to know what that is. Cool. All right.
Yeah, there were no signs that said VIP area
only.
No,
nothing.
There's just guys in the staff shirts standing there.
I've never been to a con where the signatures like that are attached to the exhibitor hall are VIP only. I get that they're different times, but why delegate the free ones to a different room?
Were way off in that private room.
Yeah.
And the VIP ones were in the middle.
Why not just do the free ones in the room where everybody's going to go anyway, and then just do the VIP ones in a separate room where only VIP is permitted.
And also, just in terms of traffic flow in the dealer's room, people tend to walk around the outside.
Yeah.
And then because they put it on one end, they blocked off that end from people walking around.
Yeah.
You had to go back through the aisle where it's crowded.
Psychologically, you're going to think you want to walk around there and see what's going on, but you couldn't because it was VIP.
Now, in the winter, when they didn't have the Greek festival there, they actually had another room there, and they put the VIP, or they put autograph. I don't know if it was VIP, but there were a bunch of autograph tables over there.
Yeah.
It was out of the way, so that worked fine, but they seemed to cram it in, and I didn't like it.
It seemed like for the free session, we did get a chance to go in there and check out the autographs, even though we were press. I don't know.
You
were
paid.
We allowed?
You paid.
I did pay.
This,
so
just for the record.
What else?
No special treatment here.
No special treatment here. So.
But you really wanted Mary Elizabeth McGlynn's autograph.
Yeah. She did Sailor Moon Crystal. Of course I did.
Yeah.
So you could pay $15 to get a like fast pass, like fast track. That's what I like to call it. And then you could stand in line and get into the free autograph session early before everybody that actually didn't pay anything for the free autograph session. So I went in early.
So, well, judging by the size of Mary Elizabeth McGlynn's line, and there was somebody that came in late with the fast pass.
Yeah.
So we knew where the end of that was.
Yeah.
We would have been like five people back.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's yeah. Like, so for Steve Bloom, they sold out of the fast passes because there were so many people. But Mary Elizabeth McGlynn would have been five back. It would have been
yeah.
fine.
There were like
depends on
people,
how popular the person is.
I guess. it depends on the guests that are currently up there in the free autograph room. But the way that they had it set up, I felt like it was decently organized for the free autograph session. Like, it was very quick. I got in line in no time at all.
They had tape on the floor, so you just
tape on the floor, so you know exactly where you have to stand. Of course, somebody had to tell some people who weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very quick and very organized. So I thought they did a really good job with the free autograph sessions.
Yeah, the line moved very smoothly.
Yeah, very, very easy.
And yeah, it was free, but if you wanted, you could buy one of the prints to have them sign.
So it's always, pro tip, if you go to a free autograph session at Sac Anime,
bring something.
Bring your own thing.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, maybe sign my hand? No. I bought a thing.
Yeah. But yeah, you weren't planning to get an autograph when you went, but when you discovered she was there, you're like, I need this.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I must have this thing. Yes, because I am a consumer.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a pretty good con. They had a lot of Power Ranger guests.
Yes, and, they did. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I mean, it's standard SAC anime, I think.
Yeah.
And I think everybody in the Bay Area knows about SAC anime, and it's pretty good con.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun at it.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty well organized for the most part. A few little inconsistencies there, but for the most part, I had a great time, and I want to go back. It was
I just think
great.
They need more programming, because if they had more programming, I'd want to be there more. Because I look at the schedule, it's like, oh, Sunday's panels is a bunch that were repeated from earlier days.
Totally felt like I did everything.
I feel like I've covered everything.
Yeah.
But if they have more variety, more fan panels in there, not necessarily the Q&A ones, but, you know, some artist alley panel maybe, or cosplay panels, more of that, or, you know, whatever people want.
Teach me how to cosplay.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Thanks, dude.
You're welcome. If you are a SAC anime, we'd love to hear about it. You can email us at podcast@animecons.tv or call our voicemail line at 762-ADEQUATE. That's 762-233-7828. You can also text us at that number, but let us know who you are, because it doesn't tell us except a phone number.
Can I send you pictures?
Yeah, you can actually text us pictures. Movie Phone Guy did that last week. So that'll be in the next feedback episode. Watch for that.
I'm totally going to troll you.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'll recognize your number.
Oh, dang it.
And, yeah, subscribe. You can find us on everywhere podcasts are, on YouTube. Just search for AnimeCons TV. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and all that stuff, too. You can find our site at AnimeCons.tv. And, yeah, we've got... we went to the Masquerade, and we recorded it. So if you want to watch the Masquerade, go to our extras feed on iTunes or wherever podcasts are, or just look on our YouTube channel, and you'll find the SAC Anime Summer 2016 Masquerade.
And I did a vlog.
Oh, yeah. Shannon. She did a vlog. And so go to her YouTube channel at...
YouTube.com/Snubsy.
Snubsy. Ooh. Snubsy Boo.
Snubsy Boo, I think.
It's right down here.
Pretty sure that's what it is.
So yeah, see? It's right here. The letters are there.
I did a vlog all about today. It was super fun. I hugged plushy things.
I appeared in it a couple times, I think.
He did.
Unless you edit me out.
Yeah, no, you're famous. Of course you're going to be in my thing.
I'm famous. You got recognized three times.
Because you were with me. Duh.
No, because you do Tech Thing and Hack 5 and Threat Wire.
Oh. Thanks.
And you can find all those down here because I put links. It's magic. Lower thirds.
Yes. There. Okay, I think we're done here.
Yeah. All right. See you next time. What is next week? Oh, I think Elizabeth's supposed to be doing Granite State Comic Con. So I'm interested to hear how that goes. It's in New Hampshire.
Ooh.
Granite State.
Cool.
So it's our first report from that con. I've never been there.
Yeah, me neither.
So, all right, see you next time. Stop harassing me!